Today's sermon is part of our peace-bearing series, and I've called it Ready to Go. I don't know why I came up with that title, Ready to Go. It just sort of seemed appropriate for this morning. But before I get into that, one of my favourite birthday presents was Rules for Reverence from my a vicar's put this together. There's some great things in there, some reverence, some less so. When walking about wearing a dog collar, have a smile ready for people who look at you. But beware of smiling at strangers when you've forgotten you're not wearing it. You'll just look creepy. And then this one, the contents of the flower cupboard are a mystery, one not to be explored without prayer and fasting. There are also some very profound lines where he says, no other role gets you involved in the highest and lowest of people's points of people's lives, especially not all in the same afternoon. And then, who else can pronounce a blessing on people and say it's work? And the final thing he says at the end of the book is, no, it's not a job. Yes, it is the best in the world. And it truly is a privilege to serve as vicar here at COGS. I know I don't get it right all of the time, and that's probably the only thing I can promise to always do, and that's not get it right all the time. But Sue and I have thoroughly enjoyed our 4.5 years here. We're grateful to God for calling us here. We look forward to the next season and all he's going to do. And we are ready for a sabbatical. Indeed, we want to discover more of some of the things you've prayed for us. Looking at God's face, seeking what he is saying to us personally and to us as a church. Just in case you're not familiar with this whole sabbatical thing, but within our diocese here in Oxford, you're entitled to a sabbatical every 10 years. You have to go through a process of applying for it. I've been ordained 14 years. They don't let you take one in your first 3 years in a new post. So I arrived here when I was 10 years into ordination. And they ask you to include three things in your sabbatical. They're pretty relaxed. They don't sort of stipulate too much. But they ask you to do some study. They ask you to do some retreating. And they ask you to have a holiday. And they're quite keen that you take a good holiday as part of it as well. During the retreat times, which will probably be quite local, and some of it will involve me and the dog, and I'm trying to get rid of everything electronic for, I don't know if I'll manage it for 3 months, but certainly on those retreat times, I will be seeking to hear what God is saying to me and to us. The study is sort of taking two elements. I'd appreciate your prayers. I am going to Lebanon again, going with Open Doors, going to be looking at some refugee projects, and also going to a conference. I have to remember the title. I can never get it. It's looking at how we lead prophetically through adversity. How we lead prophetically through adversity. And it's a conference being led by Middle Eastern scholars, which I'm sure will be challenging, to say the least. But also a part of my study is I'm going to be visiting several other churches over the next 3 months to see how they, two things in particular, how they develop their structures as they grow so that that they are good, functional, healthy structures for the life of a growing church, and also how they raise up lay leaders more and more. And I'm going to be looking at that in a number of contexts. And then in terms of holiday, we're delighted that our sons are going to be able to join us for a holiday to the States. That was when we said we'd pay for it. They were like, yeah, we'll come. funny that. But for those who don't know, our sons are 23 and 21. So they're sort of getting to that stage where family holidays are becoming less common. And so they're coming with us for a month. We're going to the States. And in the final week of that month, Sue and myself and one of the boys, one's got to come back, are going to be going to Chicago to go to the Willow Creek Conference at Willow Creek, the Global Leaders Summit Conference. One of the other conferences that Sue and I are attending during this time is called Further Faster. And when I told Nick Pike, our associate minister at South Lee, that, he said, why don't you go to one called Deeper Slower? But hey, sorry. Ready to go. Ready to go. Heather just read to us that passage, the full armour of God. I love Ephesians 6 because it appeals to the little boy in me, the whole full armour of God. I love it. That idea, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, sword, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah, it does appeal. I think I've got a little slide here, JP, at this point, of me dressed up as a Roman. No, it's not. It's someone else dressed as a Roman. Well, there you go. Oh, there it is. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness. Doesn't it just sort of get you? Oh. And it's wonderful, except I've forgotten something. The observant among you will have spotted, because there's a really incongruous part of this armour that actually I think we overlook. Because the armour also says, put your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And that's really weird. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's not very warfare. It's not very armour. Gospel of peace to do with your feet. And I want to throw out today that we've overlooked our feet. We've overlooked our feet. Too much of the time, we overlook our feet. The thing about the feet and the shoes, and this picture behind me, the sandals that Paul would have been referring to, Roman sandals, is there's at least four things in this passage that I think we need to draw out about the feet. The first and foremost is that our feet help us to stand firm. Our feet help us to stand firm. And if you look at the Ephesians, I haven't put this onto the slide, I'm afraid, but the Ephesians 6 passage, if there are Bibles around, if you want to follow this in Ephesians 6, page 1177. But the Ephesians 6 passage, verse 13 says this, "Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Full armor, I have put it on a slide, I'm more organised than I thought. "Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." This is really important. The gospel of peace, our feet being clad in the gospel of peace, help us to stand and to stand firm. And this is my first point, really. Are you standing firm? Because the reality is, for all of us, we will, at some stage in our life, we will get a phone call, we will have an experience that knocks us. Yeah, we talk about battles and blessings. And that there are battles and there are blessings, and often they're at the same time. But for all of us, there will be times when something comes along that we're not expecting. A phone call from a family member, maybe someone's died suddenly, maybe someone's been in an accident, one we heard of in our prayers, maybe our company's gone bust, maybe turns around and tells us they don't love us anymore and they're going to leave it. And you know, there's something, there's that moment where we're hit. And if we're not standing firm, we'll fall. And so the feet are really important. And you saw the picture of the shoes. Josephus, who was the historian at the time, described them as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails so as to ensure a good grip. You will not stand firm if you haven't got good shoes on. You know, it's a reality. There are going to be things in life, and you need to be able to stand firm. But the second thing is this, and this struck me as I was reading and looking at the passage, is if I've got my shield, and I've got my sword, and I've got my helmet, and I've got my breastplate, and I've got my belt of truth, and I've no longer got my microphone because I just hit it, and I've got my microphone, if I've got all of these things, I can't actually put my shoes on. Yeah, I can't. There's no way. You've got to put your shoes on first. Shoes come first. This is a primacy thing. That the gospel of peace comes first. That it's maybe the most important. In fact, I think I'm going to say it is the most important part of this armor. And I'm going to bring it out. It comes first. You cannot put these on. And you see, the problem is... No, I'll come back to that. So it's the primacy of the gospel. Stand firm. Make sure you've put these on first so you can stand firm. But the next thing, the third thing is, your feet help you to move. Your feet help you to move. We are meant to be a movement. You know, we're not meant to be an institution. And sadly, when the church becomes an institution, that's when the church declines. We are meant to be a movement. And if you look at, there's a historian called Wood, and he said the military successes, both of Alexander the Great and of Julius Caesar, were due in large measure to their armies being well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over rough terrain. It wasn't because they had the best swords and the best shields, it was because they had the best shoes. They had the best shoes. And ours are better. The gospel of peace. You know, and they were great soldiers. I, again, as a boy, I loved the Roman soldiers. They fascinated me. I even learned Roman. I did Latin. I can shout, look out, it's the Romans. Ecce Romani. It's really useful when you see Romans coming towards you. You can shout, Ecce Romani, and they'll know you know who they are. Anyway, but the bit I did like about the Romans, I think I've got the next slide, is they were big into their warfare, and they fought. This is one of their things, the flying wedge, where actually they rush together. And this is a really important thing about our armor. The Roman armor was only, it was most effective when it was together, when they were fighting as a group. So here they did the flying wedge, which would break open lines of their enemy. And this one, this is my favorite, the testudo, which means the tortoise. I love this one. I remember studying it at school, where they'd have the shields up and the shields down, and basically nobody could get near them. And they'd just move through. And apparently even chariots could be driven at this thing, and they'd stop it. And I think if that's not a great illustration for why you should not be an isolated Christian, yeah, this is, our armor becomes effective when our shields abound. You know, when we're walking together. And when we're walking, this was the important thing. Because that isn't effective when they're going backwards. That isn't actually that effective when they're standing still. Because people can just go around them. It's effective when they're moving forward together. When they're using their feet. We're meant to move forward. The sandals of the gospel of peace, I believe, are the most important part of the armor. And the fourth and final point is feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The readiness from the gospel of peace. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Because you need your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. The sandals hold us fast. They take us forward. But they prepare us for what is to come. The foundation of this armor is the gospel of peace. You see, you can have the sword of the Spirit. You can have the shield of faith. And I meet great Christians who are full of faith. And I meet Christians who know the word. And I meet Christians who are really righteous. Really righteous. You know, they've got their breastplate of righteous. Everyone else is wrongous. They're really righteous. Yeah, and I meet Christians like that. But I meet Christians who've overlooked the gospel of peace. They can be really righteous and have lost sight of the gospel of peace. And the gospel of peace, this is the only place in the Bible where this phrase is used. Gospel of peace. It's the only phrase, only time it's used. And the word gospel, many of you may know this, but it comes from a Greek word, or the word there that is, it is the Greek word, is euangelion. Euangelion. And we get the word evangelism from it, which is about sharing faith, but actually it's about sharing good news. It's about good news, the good news of peace. We have this message that is the good news of peace. Are your feet ready with the good news of peace? The good news of peace. Ephesians 2, verse 14 to 16 says this of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And this is why Jesus came. He came for peace. The good news of peace. Peace with God. central, foundational message of Christianity is we have peace with God through Jesus. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do we have peace with God, which is wonderful. That's why we sing. And this morning, if you don't know that peace, then I'd really encourage you to talk to the person you came with, someone you know, or come and see me afterwards. Because that peace with God is what makes us who we are meant to be. And not only do we have confidence then in the armor, because we have the gospel of peace, the good news that we walk in, we walk now with our shield of faith, our sword of the Spirit, our helmet of salvation. Not only do we have that confidence, but this peace passes all understanding. And it protects our hearts and our minds. So in Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? Isn't that, do you see why it's the good news of peace that we have on our feet? Because when we experience this, I mean, who doesn't get anxious? What's our response to go to God? To say, God, I need your peace. I need the gospel of peace again. I've lost sight of the good news of peace. This message is so relevant to a violent and broken and warring world. We have peace. Jesus came to preach peace. Not some sort of peace man, but some real peace. Peace that transcends understanding. Peace that helps us to be the people we were created to be. You know, this is the peace, this is the power that is restoring Carolyn's relationship with her parents. That is the gospel of peace. And when we step peace, when we step with our feet that we overlook, when we go into our place of work, we take peace. When we go into our schools, we take peace. When we move into our families, we take peace. When we step out into our community, we take peace. And we say, I am walking the gospel, the good news of peace into this world. Wherever I'm going, I take peace. Romans 10:15, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you know that you've got beautiful feet? One or two of you are thinking, you haven't seen mine, Simon. You have got beautiful feet. Because where you step, you are taking the good news of peace into the world. You know, don't forget the rest of the armor. Take peace. Well, take the rest of the armor as well, actually. It's good. You need it. But step out in peace into our world. Finally, I read yesterday, Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Those who promote peace have joy. We have this incredible good news of peace. And when we promote it, we have incredible joy. Incredible joy. So, peace be with you. Got a couple of Anglicans left in here. Peace be with you. And now let's go to war with peace. Let's go to war with peace. Would you stand? Lord God, I pray that you would pour out your peace again in this place. Remind us again of the good news that we get ready with. The good news, the readiness of the gospel of peace. And Father, where we've overlooked this power that we have, where we've overlooked this ability to bring hope and to change lives, to change situations, to see lives reconciled, Lord, would you remind us again of what we have every time we take a step? The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. I'm just going to ask Joe and the band to come back. And as they do, I'm just going to pray that we would know more and more peace. And I believe God wants to meet with a number of people in a number of different ways, but one and the first is to remind you of the peace that passes understanding. And some of you this morning are anxious about relationships, about the future, about work, or about health. I just want you, if that's you, just to open your hands. Say, God, give me your peace again. Give me your peace again. And then I think for some others, Carolyn's story really stirred you because you know there are some relationships that are not right. Maybe friends, maybe even folk in here. And the Lord's stirring you to do something about it. To bring peace. To offer forgiveness. To ask for forgiveness. And then the third group are those who you are feeling like, I've not been ready, but I'm ready now. And you want to be stepping out in peace. You want more and more to be sharing that gospel of peace with those around you. And Father, I pray that you would put for those folk, that they would be ready. They would put their feet into the gospel of peace. It's those sandals. They would stand firm and they would step out. Now, if you fall into any of those three categories, you may be just very happy where you are, receiving God's love, his direction, talking to him about what you need to do. But you might want to pray with someone. You might not want to go into details, but you might just want to stand with someone. Ask them to pray for that relationship, or pray that the anxiety that you're feeling, or pray that you would step out confidently. So, Father, continue to minister to us, that we might know your grace, we might know your peace, we might know your presence here. Amen.